So a few weeks ago, Nicole started our new series on You're Invited. And every week we're going to be receiving a new invite from our Father. She painted a lovely picture of a beautiful handwritten invite, which is made out to you personally. And today, God is inviting you to come and drink. So the right thing to do would be to RSVP or to respond to the invite. But before you do, I'd like to explain the meaning of the invite. The invite is from John 7, verse 37, where Jesus asks, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. That whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now he said that about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. This means that Jesus had not yet been crucified. But he knew that this was coming soon, so he was offering those that believed in him the Holy Spirit that would take his place here on earth, because he knew he was leaving soon to be with the Father in heaven. He'd spoken of this earlier in John 7, verse 33. "I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him that sent me." So Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, and in John 14, verse 26, he refers to Holy Spirit as the Helper. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have taught. Later in John 16, verse 7, he says, "I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me that I go away. For the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he comes, he will convict you concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." So he knew he was leaving the world, but offering the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, the river of living waters for his followers to depend on. So Jesus is inviting you personally to come and drink and receive the living waters, the Holy Spirit that will dwell in you. In John 16, verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you unto all truth." And later in verse 14, "He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you." The rivers of living water is God's life-giving presence that never leaves you and never forsakes you, a promise that he is always with us. This invite is one of the great ones in the Bible and is directed at those that really thirst for God. Thirst is our most basic need. It's one of our most powerful human needs. Thirst is the absence of the necessary. Have you ever been so thirsty that you thought you might die? It's painful. It's a conscious need that something is missing. But when you drink, you're not satisfied. You're only satisfied for a short while. So this is how we feel when we try and fill this thirst with earthly things. One of the tragedies of our age is that we confuse the thirst for God with the desires of our heart. A new outfit, a new car, a new experience. Now, wouldn't that be nice? But once the novelty wears off, you're thirsty again. Jesus explains this to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well when he tells her, "Everyone that drinks from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst again." So ladies, if you have a thirst, if you have a need, if you have an emptiness in your life, you need to respond, because this need can only be satisfied by a meaningful relationship with the Father. If you come to Jesus, not only will this emptiness be filled, but your life will overflow. God says, "If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." But be prepared to change, because when you receive the living waters, you'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. And that is what will start flowing out of you. His will and not yours. In Revelation 22, verse 17, the invitation is reiterated. Whoever is thirsty, let them come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. As a river flows, it brings refreshment to a dry and tired land. So it is the same for the Christian believer, to satisfy and nourish your soul. It's not merely a sip that you drink once. It's a continuous river. It's a constant giver of blessing that has no end. In Psalm 1 it says, "He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, that yields its fruit in season, and its leaves do not wither. In all he does, he prospers." When you are filled with the Spirit, you will overflow. My cup runneth over. And that is how it should be. The river of living water should flow in you and through you. This clean, pure, life-giving water that gives us hope in the world. When you are filled with the Spirit, people will be drawn to you for help, because you are living Christ, and you can flow Christ to them. For those that drink from Jesus find a fountain of blessing, not only for themselves, but for others. They become a spring of life for the world. And those that thrive in the Spirit are those that give what they have received. I ask God to give me a picture or an image for you today, or word for you today. And he showed me a waterfall. A waterfall will always flow as long as there's a body of water flowing towards it. And only if the water dries up will the waterfall stop flowing. So we ladies are like the waterfall, and God the living waters. It will never stop flowing towards us, and as long as it is flowing to us and through us, it will feed the next body of water below it. So the only thing that could possibly stop that is if there's a blockage. And Nicole spoke of the blockage in the well. This blockage is the debris of life that can build up until finally no water can flow through it. So ladies, let's not be those blocked wells. Let's ask Holy Spirit to come and unblock the wells so that we can become more effective for the kingdom. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will become prompted to start stepping out in faith into what God has called you to do. And you will see Him move in the most amazing ways. How does it feel when you receive Holy Spirit? Well, it's different for everyone. For some, they feel overwhelmed and moved to tears. For others, it's a subtle feeling of peace, gratitude, and love. Often with the evidence of tongues, as in Acts 19, when Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to speak in tongues. This is a heavenly language that we don't understand. As said in 1 Corinthians 14, "For those that speak in tongues, speak not to me, but to God." So while we were visiting Valdu in Paul, after he preached, he called up all those that wanted to be filled by the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, and I went up. I was prayed for, and afterwards I thought, well, that didn't work. But later on, I started getting these strange sounds that came into my head. And I noted them down on my phone, but at the time I didn't give it too much thought. So a couple of months later, we were on an apostolic trip in Kenya, and there were a group of us traveling in the car when Henny decided he's going to teach us on how to pray for people for healing. But while we were doing this, he asked if we had all been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. And I was shy and I said, well, I haven't, but I knew everyone else could. Anyway, so everyone in the car laid their hands on me and they started to pray for me. And still nothing. So I started asking questions because I was wondering now why this hasn't happened to me. And Henny explained that it will start with a couple of strange sounds. And this got me thinking back to Paul, where I had noted these sounds down in my phone, in my notes. And so I quickly opened my phone and I read these off, and I read shaw, la, ka, di, da, making no sense whatsoever. And everyone said, yes, that's it. So ladies, I didn't even know that I could speak in tongues. So some of us are a bit slower than others. So later on in that same trip, we were driving to another church to pray for people to be healed. And he started teaching us on receiving words of knowledge. And he wanted us all to arrive with one. Now you all know what a word of knowledge is, right? No, so neither did I. This is a spiritual gift referred to in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Along with faith, wisdom, discernment, healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, that you can receive when you receive Holy Spirit. So to simplify this and to put it into context, we had to wait for Holy Spirit to put a word in our minds, or an image or a word or feeling in our bodies, to reveal to us what God wanted to do in the next meeting. An example of this is on a Sunday when people come up with words for the church. Or if someone comes up and says, I feel like there's someone with a sore right ear, being quite specific, that needs to come up for healing because that person has felt that and has realized that that's what God wants to do. He wants to heal that person. So this is a word of knowledge. The ability to know what God currently wants to do or is intending to do at that time, which we are prompted by the Holy Spirit to feel or to see. So Henny preached afterwards and called up all those that wanted healing, and not a single person came up. Now, if you've been to Kenya, you will know that this is very unusual and that many people come up for healing and for prayer. So Henny then changed tactics because no one had responded. And he called us all up and he asked us to please share our word of knowledge. So these ranged from broken hearts to depression to financial problems. And now a lot of the congregation came up for prayer. And many people were prayed for, and many received healing or were set free. So you see, it's not about us. It's about what God wants to do. We just have to step out in faith and use the gifts that He has given us. Each gift is different, just like each one of us is different. Our next meeting was in a rural little mud hut of a church, with a very, very small congregation. And you almost think to yourself, what is God going to do here in the middle of nowhere? They were a very conservative Baptist church, and Henny told us that he wanted to teach on the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. But he wasn't so sure that they would welcome the teaching. Josh Daniel did the preach that day, and he ended off with inviting those who wanted to be filled by the Spirit. and not a single person moved. So he hospital passed the preach to Henny, unsure of what to do. So Henny came up and he asked for those that wanted healing. And of course, a whole lot of people came up to the front. But as they did that, my stomach started getting sore. And I said to my husband, my stomach's sore, and he said, funny, so is mine. And because we had just learned about word of knowledge, I had a light bulb moment and I said to him, word of knowledge. And I jumped up to go and tell Henny. When I told him, he looked at me funny and he sort of waved me away like this and he said, we'll pray for you later. Thinking that I'm looking for attention now. So I said to him, no, word of knowledge. And he goes, ah, yes. So he asks everyone that's come up for healing if anyone had come up for a sore stomach. And it just so happened that it was the pastor's wife. So me in my newfound bravado and my new skill of praying for people for healing, I point to her and I say, you come with me. So as we walked, my husband started walking with me and I nudged him. I'm like, I've got this. But he insisted and he kept moving with me. So I thought, okay, but I'm taking the lead. So I asked her to put her hands out to receive her healing and I put my hands on her. And we were told to keep our eyes open while we're praying for healing just to see if there's any changes while you're praying. And I noticed that she sort of swayed backwards and I noticed that her toes lifted up. She was trying to balance. But I was concentrating on what I had to pray. We had been taught and I was just concentrating on what I had to say. So as I start praying for her, she starts shouting. And in another language which we don't understand. So I look at my husband all confused. On a previous Kenya trip, Zelda was praying for a lady and she started making funny noises and whatnot, but she explained to me, and I don't know, she had discernment to notice that. She said, oh, this lady had a demon, and so she was quiet, you have to quieten the demon so that you can pray for the person. So I look at my husband and I say, I think we have our first demon. So we're standing in front of her and we're telling her to keep quiet and to shush, but she just carries on and on. And by then, everyone is looking at us. And so we look to Henny for help because we really don't know what to do now. So he comes over, tries to quieten her, but she carries on. So he turns to her husband and asks, what is she saying? And he said, I don't understand. So you see, they all speak Swahili, and we wouldn't understand, but he says he doesn't understand either. So Henny turns and looks at her, but he's got this big grin on his face, and I think, how rude, why are you smiling like that? This is crazy. So he goes, so he realizes that she's speaking in tongues. And anyway, I think I'm like two pages down. So you see, then a lot of people who witnessed it asked to be prayed for, and many received Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, including the pastor. So you see, even though we thought they wouldn't welcome the teaching, God went ahead with it. He used the pastor's wife as an example. Good grief, he even used us, silly old us. We didn't know what we were doing. So you see, none of us are just equipped. We learn as we go. But this only happens when you make the choice to drink of the waters and then to go and then to step out. We learn that we receive Holy Spirit to give us power to be witnesses of the gospel. And how do we do this? by stepping out in faith. The world needs people that are saturated with the Spirit of God, who go often to drink, often to Jesus to drink, and who the river of living waters flow through. You no longer represent yourself and your own interests, but the will of God. Holy Spirit will show you God's plan for your life. Once we receive the Spirit, how do we hear Him? Well, you engage in worship and song, through prayer and meditation, spending time in the Word, renewing your mind with the Word daily. This all creates an atmosphere to hear His voice. Invite God to increase in your life and you to decrease. Stop always taking control. Surrender it to Him. Let Him take the lead. I read a meme the other day that said, I told God, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this on my own. And He said, good, now I can begin. As Greg Garrett said at the Gauteng Equip last year, when our lives become stagnant, when we've hit a spiritual wall, when we begin to be introspective and we start focusing on ourselves, the solution is not to try and fill that void with worldly experience, but in satisfaction in seeing Jesus flow through others. How do we do this? We need to look for avenues of service. The irony is that we never experience satisfaction like we should until our lives give satisfaction to others. So ladies, if you'd like to respond, if you are thirsty, or even if you feel like your well is blocked, God is inviting you today to come and drink of the living waters. He wants to fill you with the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You cannot do life without Him. He will lead you and guide you, teach you and restore you, love you and protect you, and nourish you so that you can be a shining light in the world, and whatever flows in you will flow out of you to others in need.